Join us as we uncover the secrets, the suspects, and the chilling details of a case that remains unsolved. Listen now to this suspicious death of Tom Coleman, and since it's still unsolved, you can make up your own conclusion. What really happened to Tom Coleman? The truth may be darker than you think. Join us as we dive into the chilling details of Tom's unsolved death. Who was he, and why does his story still haunt us? Unravel the chilling mystery of Tom's suspicious death. What secrets lie hidden in this unsolved case? Share your theories in the comments below, and let's uncover the truth together. Tom was born on March 22, 1967, to his parents Marie and Thomas Sr. in Queens, New York. He had two brothers, Kenneth and Robert, and one sister named Wendy, and that he was a massive fan of the New York Giants. Tom got married to his first wife, Michelle Weber, and from the very beginning, it was always clear that Tom loved his children, that he was meant to be a father, and cared more about his children than anything else in the world. As they grew up, he volunteered as a little league coach. He was involved in that. He tried to be as involved as possible in his children's lives while also maintaining his career as a physical therapist in Saugerties, New York. But sometimes life just does not go as planned, and that was the case for Tom and Michelle. The two decided to end things, but eventually, Tom's children went and lived with Michelle in Colorado, and he stayed in Saugerties. Tom did try to keep as much of a relationship with his kids as possible. He would talk to them daily, if not every week at least. As the years went on, Tom began dating again, and eventually, he met a woman named Linda, who was also divorced and had a child from her first marriage. It did not take long for the two of them to fall in love, and eventually, they decided to elope in Las Vegas. They had a small yet romantic ceremony, and Tom and Linda's parents were both invited. In addition to both bringing kids into this new family, they also had a child together of their own. Linda says that she knew Tom would be happy no matter what, but when they had their son, Tom cried tears of happiness. He was just overjoyed. Of course, he was going to be happy no matter what, but he was stoked to have a son. By no means did he walk away from the family that he had already created. His daughter, Jillian, says that it really did feel like they were just one big family rather than blending two different ones. Even though they were half siblings, it never really felt like they were half family, and a lot of that was because of Tom. He wanted to make sure that everyone felt included and special, and he was just so dedicated to his family. This left little time for him to have his own hobbies and friends. Sure, he had friends and acquaintances, of course, but he was never that close to anyone outside of his family. That is, until he met the local dentist, Gilberto Nunez. Gilberto, or Gil, was also living in Ulster County. He had a wife and a kindergarten-age son, and he was first introduced to the Coleman family at kindergarten orientation. Both of their sons were the same age, they did karate together, and they really liked each other. Obviously, it is pretty common for parents to become friends with the parents of kids that their kids are friends with. Tom and Gil had a lot in common, and they ended up becoming good friends. Eventually, Gil was as close to the Coleman family as he could be. Seriously, not only was he Tom's best friend, but he became Linda's boyfriend. Yes, you heard that right. That was a pretty big jump forward. So let me back up a little bit and explain how that all unfolded. Gil and Linda did not start dating right away. The three of them met in 2009, but it was not until late 2010 that Gil and Linda became more than friends. It all started at their children's karate class. Linda would always take her son, Ryan, and Gil would always take his son. During their practice, they would spend time together and chat. Eventually, they started hugging goodbye. That hug turned into a kiss on the cheek goodbye, and eventually, it turned into a kiss on the lips and moved forward from there. One day, Gil called up Linda and told her that he was crazy about her. Eventually, she found herself spending time together at his dental practice and forming a relationship. Gil's dental practice was the most important thing in his life. If you ask anyone who worked for him, they will say the same. People who were close to Gil would describe him as an incredibly kind and generous person, especially when it came to his work. He would often do free dental work for women from shelters and drive elderly patients to and from their appointments. He always went out of his way for people, and he was just a very likable person. These positive descriptions and positive things about him have made people extremely confused about what would later be said. But in 2010, early 2011, all anyone knew about Gil was that he was Tom's best friend, a kind dentist, and a good father. Tom and Gil spent a lot of time together. They loved watching the New York Giants, and they spent a lot of time having deep talks with each other. They were close. Meanwhile, Tom and Linda had hit a rough point in their relationship right before she started having this affair with Gil. They were having financial issues, just hitting that slump in marriage. You know, raising their child, things just were not the same as they used to be. I'm not sure if some of that played into Linda forming this romantic relationship with Gil. At the time, Gil was also in the process of separating from his wife. Tom was fully there for his friend during that entire period. Meanwhile, Gil was sleeping with his wife, and for many months, it seemed like Gil was completely fine with what he was doing. It did not seem like it was bothering him or causing him any regret. He did not feel like he had to do anything about it until one day he must have felt he did. In July of 2011, Gil purchased a burner phone with the intention of anonymously telling Tom what was up. Later, he said that he did this because if he were in Tom's shoes, he would want to know the truth. Now, why he did not just man up and tell him himself? He gets this burner phone and decides to pose as a woman named Samantha, who has inside knowledge that Tom's wife was sleeping with a dentist. Even though he did not directly say his name in these messages, Tom obviously knew who it was. This is when it gets even weirder because Gil did not stop there. He starts texting Linda and tries to convince her that Tom is having an affair as well. That part was not true, so I don't know what Gil's intention or purpose was in doing that, but it did lead to Tom and Linda having a discussion about these messages they got and possible affairs happening. As soon as they did, Linda just completely came clean to Tom, told him everything, and told him how she had been sleeping with his best friend, Gil. I am sure you will not be surprised to hear that Tom was deeply hurt by this. This was his best buddy sleeping with his wife, so he was hurt by both of them. He spent the first couple of days being angry at Gil and ignoring him completely. But eventually, you will be surprised to hear that he forgave Gil. And I do not mean just like forgive and then say peace out, let us never speak again. He fully forgave him. Gil begged and pleaded for his forgiveness on his hands and knees, and Tom decided to forgive him. Not only did he forgive him, but this is when it gets very strange. He decided to let him continue sleeping with his wife. He gave his blessing to their affair. According to Linda, it seems like Tom was okay with continuing this relationship because he wanted her to sort out her own feelings and make her own decision. They are adults. They can do whatever they want with their relationship. This continued for a while, and Tom would text Gil and say things like, "Your girlfriend is baking," and Gil would respond and say, "I love her so much." Interesting. But at the end of the day, he was not going to force her to stay with him. He wanted her to see both and come to her own decision about who she wanted to be with. It did not take Linda long to come to that decision. In October of 2011, about 3 months after the affair was exposed, Tom and the kids went away on vacation to celebrate their wedding anniversary. Linda says that it was on this trip that she realized how selfish she had been and how the only person she wanted to spend her life with was Tom. So now she had to break this news to Gil and end the relationship. But for one specific reason, her and Tom decided that they would wait to tell him until after the holidays. The reason they decided to do this was because of Gil's mental health. Let me explain. Going back to that burner phone where Gil pretended he was a woman named Samantha, he did not want to admit that he was faking his identity to expose his own affair. He was embarrassed, so he lied about it for a few weeks. Eventually, Gil found out that Tom was planning to hire someone to figure out who this mystery Samantha person was. Gil decided to pivot to a new, even dumber plan. Rather than just admitting the truth to Tom and Linda, he decides to tell them that he is in the CIA and that he has a contact in the agency who could help figure out who was sending those texts. I am sure most of you know that impersonating a federal agent is a serious crime, and surprise, he was not in the CIA. His genius plan was to pay someone he knew $500 to pretend they were in the CIA and convince Tom and Linda that it was someone else sending these text messages from Samantha. Now, the details on this whole CIA thing vary a little bit from source to source. The important thing to know is that it never happened, and that Gil ended up deciding to tell them the truth eventually. But here is where his mental health comes into the picture. During all of this, Gil calls Tom and leaves him a very cryptic voicemail, and it sounded as if he was considering taking his own life. Of course, Tom was worried. He called the police and asked them to go check on him. When they did, Gil brushed the whole thing off as a moment of weakness. Because of all of this, Tom and Linda were concerned that Gil might take his own life if she were to break up with him, so they decided she would maintain the relationship, at least until after the holidays. That was the plan, and then the unthinkable happened. Thanksgiving of 2011 was like any other holiday for the Colemans. They ate, drank, watched football. Everything was the same as it always was. Gil was around. He was under the impression that Linda was deciding on their relationship, but says he didn't know what she had decided yet. Linda was keeping up the relationship with Gil, and things were also better for her and Tom now. Many people say that it was obvious from Linda's body language that she had already made her decision, and that Gil may have possibly caught on that she was going to break up with him, but there is nothing to confirm this. We have no idea if he knew, and that all becomes important soon, because on Monday, November 29, 2011, Tom Coleman was found unresponsive inside his car. That morning, Linda woke up to an empty bed, as she did most mornings on weekdays because Tom would go to the gym before heading to work. This day was no different, but what was different was that this day Tom had not sent Linda any text messages. This is something that he would do every morning. While he was getting ready for work, or while he was at the gym, he would send his wife a few texts. When he did not, she began to wonder. She got even more concerned when someone called from Tom's work and said that he did not show up that day. It was very unlike Tom to just not show up for work. She got so worried that she got in her car and started to retrace his steps. That is when she found Tom's car on the far side of the Planet Fitness parking lot in Kingston. When she looked inside, he did not appear to be moving. At first, she felt a little bit relieved because it looked like he had just fallen asleep. His seat was tipped back into a horizontal position, and his pants were unbuttoned. She opens the door, thinking she is going to wake him up, they're going to laugh about it, and then he didn't wake up. She knew something terrible had happened. Linda frantically called 911, and when EMS arrived, unfortunately, there was nothing they could do. Tom was already gone. Right off the bat, there was little concern that Tom's death was anything other than natural causes. I mean, he is in his mid-40s, he was a little bit overweight, so it seemed more likely than not that he had suffered a heart attack. There was no physical sign of trauma, and the only so-called strange thing they noted was the fact that his car was at the back of the parking lot, which was a little weird. I mean, you would expect someone going to the gym in the early morning to just park right up front, but again, that was the only thing that stood out at first. At the scene itself, Linda appeared like any grieving wife. She was extremely distraught, and there was zero indication that she knew anything about his death prior to arriving at the parking lot. However, there was one person who seemed a little overdramatic when he showed up, and I am sure you can guess who that was. When Gil got there, investigators said that he broke down on his knees and was hysterical that his best friend was gone, which seems like an understandable reaction to me. However, I was not there, and investigators say that his demeanor was a bit performative. A few hours later, Linda goes to the station to answer a few questions about Tom's health because at first, this was an open and shut case. She shared with officers that Tom had sleep apnea and high blood pressure, and this alone confirmed what they already believed. But because his death was what they called an unattended death, meaning no one was there to corroborate what happened, they decided to perform a standard autopsy and toxicology. While they awaited those results, some very shocking information became known. Remember earlier how I mentioned how investigators thought it was strange that Tom was parked at the back of Planet Fitness? Well, when they looked at surveillance cameras from the area to get a sense of what may have happened, they noticed a car that was not Tom's pulling into the back of the lot around 4:30 a.m. Not long after that, 10 or 15 minutes, Tom's car pulls right next to the original car. Keep in mind, this is a big parking lot with plenty of open spaces. The only reason Tom would have pulled next to this vehicle is if he knew who was in it and why they were there. Just take a guess who investigators believed was driving that first car, none other than Gil. Even though the footage taken was extremely far away and very grainy, they believed that the car was a white SUV. Who did they see driving a white SUV into the parking lot the morning that Tom's body was found? Gil. 3 days after Tom's passing, Gil was also brought into the station for what investigators called an information gathering. When he was speaking with detectives, Gil just offered up all this information about the affair he was having with Linda. He told them the truth that not only did Tom know about the affair, but he was okay with it, and allowed the two of them to continue to date after the fact. He says he told them all that because he knew they were going to eventually figure it out, and he did not want to seem like he was hiding anything. In this conversation, Gil also mentioned that he was aware that Tom had sleep apnea, and that becomes an important detail later on. Now, as you can imagine, investigators were having trouble believing that this affair was so drama-free and that Tom was just cool with it. Obviously, it is not very common for a husband to find out that his wife is having an affair with his best friend and just accept it and let it continue. And yes, that is actually what happened. But to investigators, that seemed super suspicious. The white SUV being a possibility made them concerned. So they wanted to see if the two of them were still together. They decided to take a closer look. Gil said that he still loved Linda, but if they were acting all lovey-dovey and happy in the wake of this horrible event, it seemed possible to investigators that he had something to do with it. But all this really turned up nothing. Linda said that she and Gil were having an affair when she was confronted about it, and from everything the two of them were telling them, it seemed as if Tom really was fine with it. They searched their phone records. Gil's car was even tracked, and nothing suggested that the two of them were still dating. The phone records also seemed to indicate that there really were no problems between Tom and Gil. Up until the day Tom died, the two of them were texting like they were best friends. There was no animosity, no jealousy, no anger, nothing. But even with nothing solid to go off of, investigators kept looking deep because they could not shake the idea that they could be persons of interest. By this point, there was not even a definitive cause or manner of death because the medical examiner said everything was undetermined pending toxicology reports. The investigators just had to wait. Finally, after 2 months, the results came in, and they were shocking. The report showed that Tom had trace amounts of midazolam in his system. If you do not know, midazolam is a medication commonly used by doctors and dentists to help a patient relax or go to sleep before a medical procedure. So, of course, alarm bells were now going off for investigators because Gil is a dentist. Since there were no signs of a heart attack or an aneurysm, his cause of death was labeled acute midazolam poisoning. But the traces of it were small, so how could it have killed him? Well, it turns out that even in small doses, midazolam can kill someone if they suffer from a condition such as sleep apnea. And we know that Linda and Tom both knew that he suffered from this condition. Linda worked at a hospital, so investigators looked into the possibility that she was the one who had gotten the midazolam. However, she was quickly cleared of any involvement when it became clear that no midazolam was missing from the hospital where she worked, and they also could not find any evidence that she obtained it elsewhere. They gave up on Linda, but they weren't ready to give up on Gil. In February of 2012, he was brought back in for questioning, and for 7 hours, he was battered about his involvement in Tom's death. But at no point did he waver from what he had been saying all along. He didn't do it. He was confronted with the fact that midazolam was found in Tom's system, and he denied knowing anything about it. He even was confused about what this drug was in the first place, but then he quickly acted as if he did know what it was. He was also asked about his car, and if he was at Planet Fitness that morning, and again he denied it. Investigators got pretty in his face about everything, but without solid proof, they really couldn't do much. They were just waiting around for the evidence to find them. While this interview was taking place, 2 search warrants were executed at his home and his office. The hope was to find midazolam or anything connecting Gil to Tom's death. Investigators did find it, but the thing is, both bottles were in an emergency kit that was completely untouched inside his office. Based on the information, it sounds to me like what detectives were finding in this search was also being relayed to the person interviewing Gil in real time. I say this because during the interview, the 2 bottles of midazolam that were found in his office were brought up in conversation by the detective, and Gil kind of wavers on whether he had it. But finally, he says that yes, he had this drug in his office. He also explains that his fingerprints are going to be found on the kit and on those bottles because he is the one who fills the emergency kit. Now here is what's interesting. By saying that his fingerprints were going to be on the vials, he suggests that he knew they would find them there. If he said they would not be there, and then they were found, that would make him look really bad, obviously. But the opposite happened. There were no fingerprints found on the vials. Even if we consider the possibility that he wore gloves when handling the vials, it does not matter because neither vial was used. Not only that, but everything else they tested came up empty. they really had nothing against him. None of his DNA was found at the scene. The surveillance footage was fuzzy, and they could not confirm it was his car. All they really had was a hunch that he was involved. They decided to turn to Linda in hopes that she could tell them more about Gil. At first, Linda did not seem to think that Gil had anything to do with her husband's death. But little by little, as time went on, she began to wonder, and she eventually concluded that he was responsible. First, there were those strange text messages from Samantha, and it just didn't sit right with her or investigators that Gil was trying to secretly break them up. Then they learned that these text messages were not his only attempt at trying to end their marriage. It turns out Gil once sent Linda an email posing as his own mother, trying to convince her to stay with her son. Then there is what investigators found on Gil's computer during the search executed at his home. Gil's computer was seized, and on it, they found a fraudulent CIA ID card and report. Linda told investigators that she knew about it, but believed it at the time. She explained that Gil told her that he was in the CIA, and that he had a friend in the agency who could figure out who was sending those texts from Samantha and could also prove to her that Tom was having an affair as well. Looking back, Linda says that she feels extremely foolish for believing him. But we know that manipulative people can be extremely convincing. The CIA stuff is a crime, and they do eventually go after him for that. But they wanted to get him on charges of murder, and at this point, it was obvious that the only way they could make this happen was by connecting Gil to the car scene on surveillance. In the time since investigators found the first set of surveillance footage with the white SUV, they went out looking for more. Obviously, the car had to come from somewhere. They pulled footage from stores all around the surrounding area until they could find a cleaner image. They did find several tapes, including this mysterious white SUV. Unfortunately, they did not find anything with much better clarity. They did not see a license plate or any defining characteristics that would make it easy to say that this was for sure Gil's car. Gil's car also had emergency lights inside because he was a volunteer firefighter. They hoped they would be able to see that on surveillance footage, but again, they didn't. They decided to bring in a forensic video analyst in hopes that he could make the connection. This analyst ended up determining that the vehicle is a Nissan Pathfinder, the same car that Gil drives. What it ultimately boils down to is the car's headlights. The analyst noticed how the light beams coming out of the car's headlights cast a specific shadow downward. It was not the shadow that all Nissan Pathfinders would have. It almost looked as if the light was damaged in some way to make it look like that. Investigators tracked down Gil's old Nissan, which he had sold a few weeks after Tom's death, and it turns out it has the same type of shadow. They drove it down the same street at the same time of night to make sure all the variables were the same, and the light pattern was a match, which gave investigators their only semi-solid evidence against Gil. As investigators were compiling their findings and gathering everything, they needed to make an arrest. Everyone was starting to move on with their lives. Gil met a woman on Match.com and got married. Linda began dealing with the pain of this loss, and Tom's children moved forward as well. Tom's first wife, Michelle, if you remember, had moved to Colorado with the kids. She had to tell them what happened to their father, and neither of them were the same since. Jillian had a tough time grasping that her father was killed, and Brad had some very serious mental health issues after this. Sadly, he ended up taking his own life at just 18 years old. Time was moving forward, but nobody had forgotten Tom, especially not the investigators. Finally, in October of 2015, Gil was arrested and charged with second-degree murder and felony forgery related to the fake CIA ID card. Haley spent 1 month in jail before posting his $1 million bail. Then, in May of 2016, his trial began. Investigators did not have much to link Gil to Tom's murder. The best piece of evidence they had was that the forensic video analyst said Gil's car was a match to the car scene on surveillance, but this was circumstantial at best. They had no DNA. No incriminating texts, they had nothing. All the prosecution really had to go on was the idea that Gil was an obsessive, jealous man who wanted Linda all to himself. Emails between the two were read in court that detailed how much Gil loved Linda, emails that made him look aggressive. One of them read, "I'm not leaving you, not today, not tomorrow, not ever." The prosecution argued that Gil realized Linda was not going to choose him after the holidays were over, and rather than accept defeat, he took out his competition. Of course, They pointed to the fact that he had posed as a woman named Samantha and as his own mother in an attempt to break Tom and Linda up. They suggested that because these efforts did not work, Gil resorted to murder. They said that he knew about Tom's sleep apnea and that midazolam, even in a small dose, could be fatal for him. The forensic video analyst testified, and the hope was that everything combined was enough to convince the jury. Of course, the defense had plenty of reasonable doubt on their side. They argued that anything Gil had tried to break Tom and Linda up was all just a joke, and that he never would have resorted to murder. Plus, if Tom, his best friend, was totally fine with him dating his wife, why would he need to kill him? One of the biggest arguments for the defense was that a lot of potential evidence was ignored. Remember how I explained that Tom was found lying down in his car with his pants unbuttoned? Well, data from his phone showed that he had recently received an email from the website Be Naughty. The defense argued that the police never considered the possibility that he met up with someone from that website and died because of that interaction. They argued that they zeroed in on Gil from the beginning and actively ignored evidence that went against their theory. Now, the prosecution would refute that and say you'd be crazy to believe that Tom was killed with midazolam by someone who happened to drive the same car as Gil, happened to know that he had sleep apnea, and who happened to work for this Be Naughty website. It was also brought up in the trial that investigators found text messages between Tom and Gil that were deleted from Tom's phone. Of course, that sounds suspicious, but it turns out these text messages were about football. It is unclear why they were deleted or who deleted them, but there weren't anything incriminating. In the end, after 3 weeks of testimony, the jury came back after just a few hours with their verdict, and Gilberto Nunez was found not guilty on the charge of second-degree murder. He was, however, found guilty on the charge of felony forgery related to the fake CIA ID badge. Now, Linda was visibly upset leaving the courtroom and to this day believes that Gil is responsible for her husband's murder. Many people believe that he is, and many people believe that he is not. When it comes to my opinion, like I said in the beginning, I just do not know. I do not think there's enough evidence either way. Gil was also later convicted on charges of insurance fraud and perjury for two unrelated cases and sentenced to 2.5 to 7 years in prison. He was released from prison on all charges in September of 2018 and is on parole until October of this year. The decision that the jury made that day haunts Tom's family, friends, and supporters. They believe that Gil got away with murder. His license to practice dentistry was revoked, but they do not feel that's enough. All we know for sure is that Tom was a loving father, a good neighbor, and a kind person who did not deserve what happened to him. But we may never know what happened. Of course, I want to hear from you. Let me know your thoughts on this one, guys. Tell me if you think Gil was involved and why, and tell me if you think he was not involved and why. My thoughts go out to Tom's whole family and Linda. I cannot imagine how hard this has all been on them, especially not having answers or justice. That is going to be it for me today. I will be back next week to discuss another case. But until then, stay safe out there.